And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we consider the epistle reading, 1 Timothy chapter 6, but kind of honing in the first verse of this reading, reflecting upon the whole thing, however. But these words, as God inspired Paul to write them, "Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment." There is great gain in godliness with contentment. And by the way, I'd let you know that the readings, if you do not know, are printed out for you in the bulletin. As you may want to refer to 1 Timothy as I present it to you today. And there's a sermon outline in there as well. But think about these words of God. "Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment." As we look at our culture today, we're certainly a consumer society, wouldn't you say? And it's a big news story when any new product comes out. And isn't it the new iPhone, is it the 7 now? That just came out, and so there's all kinds of excitement about that, and if you didn't pre-order those things, I guess it's going to be a while before there will even be one available to you. And so you just see in simple examples like that how focused and honed in we are as a culture to the newest and greatest things. And it's whether it's phones or all of the electronic industry things that are available to us, or the newest kind of car, you know, there's always new things coming out, generating all kinds of excitement and generating that idea that we have to have these things. And of course, in order to have these things, they're not cheap, they're not given away. You need money to purchase them. And so behind all of this then is a real energy and drive to make more money so that we can take it all in, so that we can get more things. And in all of this, I think what people are really seeking is some kind of contentment, happiness, or fulfillment in their lives. And yet, more often than not, the focus is on things providing that for us. And as Christians living in probably the wealthiest society in the world, it's very easy for us to get lured into this ourselves. And so it's really good that the Lord comes to us today in these words, and very simple words, "Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment." In other words, there is great gain being wealthy in Christ. And that's the theme I hold before you is, yes, God wants us to be wealthy, but not in things, not in material goods, not in money, but in Christ. And what a blessing that is, because it's only in Jesus Christ that we will find the contentment that the world is always running after. And yet, when we look at worldly wealth, we see that there's really kind of two categories. And I think it's interesting that this morning the Lord brings these out to us, and it kind of begs the question for us as we hear this. Okay, God, you're making specific categories here. Which one am I a part of? And it's two categories that the Lord presents to us. It's those who desire to be rich and those who are already rich. And it seems like the greater danger is those who desire to be rich. Isn't that interesting? And so in verse 9 of this text, we hear, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money," not money here, "but for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pangs." And so those who desire to be rich, They're not rich yet in their thinking, but they think, boy, if I could be like that rich guy, you know, I'd have everything. I would find that contentment that I'm really looking for and seeking. Have you ever been around people that really desire to be rich or that flaunt the idea out there as though they are? A vivid memory in my mind, Lindy and I were in Hawaii back in early 2002, and in Kauai, there's the Princeville Hotel, and I forget, I think it's a 7-star, and there's only like three to five of those in the world. And yet it's on Hanalei Bay, which is a beautiful bay to watch a sunset. So we decided, you know what, we're just going to go to this hotel and just have a cocktail, you know, and watch the sunset. We're sitting there, and it's packed with people. And it's packed with people that want you to think they're rich. And I was just sitting back, almost chuckling, because everybody was trying to outdo each other. Oh, you know, I have a place in Carmel, California, and I look at the sunsets over the Pacific, and this is nothing like that. And I was thinking, well, why don't you go back to Carmel then? And it was just going on, and I wasn't brave enough then, but if I was there now, I would be brave enough. I'd say, yeah, you know, out in western Nebraska, I got a feedlot that I look out over, and boy, the smell, oh man, does that smell good. I should have done it. But it really saddened me deep within, though, to see how people had to sit there and try to convince other people that they really had the money. And you just saw the love of money mentality flowing out on that patio in such a beautiful place. But it was really revealing of how dangerous the desire to be rich can be. And it's never going to bring contentment. It's really a setup, it's a deception. And they think it will, but it's not. People think that being wealthy is going to bring security. But Jesus speaks to that, doesn't he, about the farmer that had such an abundant crop, he's going to retire, and he doesn't know what to do with all of his grain, builds more granary, he's going to sit back, be happy and merry. And the Lord says, you fool, don't you realize your life's going to be taken from you tonight? Contentment is not in things. But boy, we've got to battle that in the culture in which we live, even as God's precious people. And so it's good that the Lord exposes this, because there's part of us that I'm sure has that in our sinful condition. We all have elements of this. And I love it when the Lord tells us those who desire to be rich fall into a snare. And we have hunters and fishermen in here this morning. And when you think of a snare, a trap, as a fisherman, it's the bait, right? And so you're dangling out this thing that looks very attractive to a fish. And it's like, wow, if I can get that bait, what a meal. This is going to make my day. Or the meat or whatever is in that trap, trying to catch a mammal, same thing. And little do those creatures know that it's all a deception, it's all a setup, and it's actually going to destroy their lives. Boy, the Lord tells it like it is, doesn't he? But it's good that he does. It's good that he gets our attention to see things as they really are. And what God warns here is if we get into the entrapment of the love of money, running after it, thinking that that's where we're going to find wholeness in life and contentment, it's a snare. And what it could do is lead us to pride and lust and fraud and violence, but most of all, idolatry, to where now money becomes the God in our lives. And God is somewhere way down the list. It always leads to idolatry in the end. So those are the ones seeking to be rich. But then there's also the rich. But it's interesting, the Lord doesn't say as much about the rich. And what is very evident, whether we have nothing or whether we're multi-billionaires, in God's eyes, that's not the issue. But the issue is how we see the wealth that we have and how we treat it. And so as for the rich, we hear in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. So the danger with those who are very wealthy is, one, that they think that there's security in that. And I think there's another great danger. You think about all of our investment companies, finance companies, and, you know, you need to put your money here, here, and here. And there is a good stewardship aspect to that. But again, is that where our hope and trust is? So it's a condition of the heart again. And the other danger with the rich is the prideful spirit that, hey, you know, money buys anything. If you have enough money, you can buy power. You know, you can buy virtually anything with it. And again, there comes that pride and security. But the bottom line, as the Lord presents wealth to us, number one, it isn't ours, right? It's all His. We're simply stewards and managers that God entrusts this to. But it's merely a tool. It's a tool God provides in order to use for His plans and purposes. That's the focus of material wealth, and that's the reason God provides it to us. And so we must be careful of the snares and see it as God has designed it to be. You know, and what's interesting, as you see people that run after money and things, it seems like the more we accumulate, what happens? The more discontent we become. And the more problems that it really creates, the more responsibility as well. Kind of interesting, isn't it? And then the Lord qualifies this. Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment. And then the Lord, through Paul, goes on to say, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. We all die equal in terms of a worldly perspective. Whether you're a multi-billionaire or whether you've been a person out on the street, maybe like Lazarus at the rich man's door, we all die the same in the sense that we brought nothing into this world and we can't take anything out of it as well. And that's a reality. And God wants us to see that. Because then that puts all these things into a whole new perspective. And that's the wealth that we really have, and that's in Christ. And that wealth is true security. It's security for everlasting life because Jesus is everlasting. The victory that He won for you and me and offers to the world on His journey to the cross and the empty tomb, Jesus said at the cross, it is finished, meaning it has been completed now and for all time. So nobody can change what He has done. The victory has been won. The Lord offers it to the world. And it's in our possession through faith. And praise God for the gift of faith. And through Jesus, the greatest debt has been paid. If you think financial debt is a big thing, think about our spiritual one. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus paid the price, didn't He? He shed His blood on the cross. He, the living Lord, He, the perfect one, literally went to the cross, shed His blood there for the sins of all people, including all of ours. He paid the debt because God poured all of His wrath and anger out on His Son in our place as our substitute. Think about that. Whenever you think of this material thing trying to lure you in as bait, remember, wait a minute. I'm already wealthy. I have it all. I have victory and salvation. I have the Lord's presence in my life. And I am covered with His righteousness. Could we have anything greater than that? And the answer is clearly no. And so we live in the presence of God's love and His compassion. And what's really awesome, it doesn't matter what our worldly circumstances are. It doesn't change. God is consistent in the wealth that he provides to you and me. And wow, how empowering that is, especially when we go through really difficult times. But how empowering that is, too, when it seems like we're at the top of the world in terms of worldly things. To protect and guard us from stepping away from the Lord and into that. What the Lord really does for us is he frees you and me. He frees us from the burden of all of these things in life, so that we can use these things as stewards to serve him. And what a freedom that is. I love how the Lord, in addressing the rich, they are to do good, to be rich in good works. How about that? To be rich in good works. That's being wealthy in Christ. That is a true richness when we go forth and use whatever the Lord provides to us, whether it's material wealth or whether it's the gifts and talents and abilities that we have. It's all God's gifts. It's the wealth that he has placed in our lives and says, now go and use it. Use it for my plans and purposes. And you know, when we're doing it for the Lord, he always provides. We don't have to worry about running out. Because God is the supplier of all things. And so we can be content with the very basics of life, food and clothing. And that clothing or covering in the original language, by the way, can even mean shelter. So food, clothing, and shelter. The Lord provides those for us that we may then serve him. My heart just sinks all the time when I see families now, you know, at intersections with the plate out, asking people to help them. I can guarantee you if that family was a member of our family here at Trinity, they wouldn't have to be out there doing that. And I would hope that would be the case of any congregation. But it's revealing of how many people are separated from Christ, who are separated from the fellowship of the body of Christ. God doesn't call us to be beggars. He provides. And we know that full well. And what an honor to be rich in good works, to go forth and to serve him, being wealthy in Christ. And so, in conclusion, brothers and sisters, in a consumer-crazed society, may we be consumed with God's will and focus on fulfilling it with the same intensity and even greater that those who have a desire for money, who seek after money, that we would seek the Lord and his will. And God continues to bless us. And the really awesome thing, when our journey ends on this earth, it doesn't end. But we are received into glory, into those mansions, those places God has prepared for us in heaven. That's our future. May God bless you and me as we use what he provides to his glory and be consumed in that. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.